Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It does seem to be a dwindling number, especially the higher you go in politics in the Democratic Party. The fewer and fewer of them you find, almost to the point of being rarities, very, very difficult to find them in the wild, pro-life Democrats. Are they an extinct species? We're going to be answering that question on this Tuesday afternoon, September the 27th, here in the last 10 minutes of Issues Etc. Father Frank Pavone joins us. He's National Director of Priests for Life and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Pro-Life Democrats Are a Thing of the Past. Father Pavone, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, speaking of the past, take us back to the Democratic Party of 1996 and the pro-life movement therein.
Well, you know, it was those were the years I was just starting out full-time with this Priests for Life ministry, and of course, we do a lot of work on Capitol Hill, as well as across the nation, and we were interacting with dozens and dozens of pro-life Democrats at that time who were in Congress, who were coming to meetings, holding press conferences, working with a group called Democrats for Life, which we were also encouraging and helping to grow at that time. We were seeing them all across the country in state legislatures, and we were also even hopeful about advancing certain types of legislation. I remember even going to the DNC at one point for a press conference together with Democrats for Life, and we had various members of Congress there calling for measures that were very, very promising in terms of bipartisan efforts to reduce the circumstances in which people might feel they had no alternatives but abortion. So it was a very different feel back then than it is now, as you accurately suggest. These pro-life Democrats are practically vanished off the scene. And with the exception of Congressman Dan Lipinski from Illinois, with whom we still work closely, he's one of the lone members of the House of Representatives who can say he's a pro-life Democrat.
What happened, Father Pavone?
You know, we see a couple of things happening. First of all, the party itself has hardened in its stance for the most extreme positions on abortion. We've seen it even up until this summer when the Democratic Convention issued a platform that is more pro-abortion than ever before, even to the point of trying to force taxpayer funding of abortion, getting rid of the Hyde Amendment, which prevents a large portion of federal funding for abortion. So we see a hardening in the party itself. Now, what that does is it discourages pro-life men and women from running for office in the Democratic Party. It virtually guarantees that they won't be able to go up the ladder. I mean, going back again to the 90s, I mean, we had the prominent Senator Casey from Pennsylvania, whom I was privileged to know personally. Now he's since passed away, but my goodness, what a strong voice for life. And yet Senator Casey was kept from the Democratic Party from speaking at the convention. And he would say in those last years of his life, you know, don't we who speak for life have a right to say so in this party? So we have a hardening of the party. And then secondly, another thing happened, of course, in the interim, which was Obamacare. And there was an unfortunate series of events after that was passed in 2010, where the pro-life community began to feel very betrayed, even by the pro-life Democrats who backed President Obama's efforts and his promise that there would be no funding of abortion through Obamacare. And of course, you know, we knew better because, you know, you don't have to say it explicitly in order to have it. We knew better, and yet many of them or at least in the perception of the movement, caved in to President Obama. And we ended up having a lot of them face primary challenges and got defeated in the elections.
So where does it stand now? If you were to kind of give us the lay of the land here in a few minutes of the Democratic Party and the issue of abortion, things really have changed radically from back. It wasn't so long ago, 1996, haven't they?
Well, it wasn't that long ago. In fact, sometimes I think back and it seems just like yesterday. Let me address this from a rather personal angle. In my own work with Greece for Life, we're privileged to have Dr. Alveda King as one of our full-time pastoral associates. Now, she's the niece of Martin Luther King Jr. She full-time is now devoted to the pro-life movement as the civil rights movement of today. And she, she faces this in and out. She herself has been a Republican and votes Republican, but she faces within her family this very serious this very serious problem, whereby the Democratic leadership is so pro-abortion that it's hard for her to even navigate these basic things within her own work, where you say, look, the African American community is targeted by abortion. We see the statistics and we see the disproportionate numbers of abortions held by that community. And then we also see the after effects more and more in the post-abortion syndrome. So and yet they can't get their leaders to say a word against abortion.
What do you say to a middle-class Roman Catholic listener who in this political climate today simply says to you, Father, paying my bills is more important than protecting the unborn? How would you respond to them with about a minute or so?
Well, if a politician can't respect the life of a little baby, how's he going to respect yours and mine? And we see that those who have the right position on abortion also have the right position on economic issues. It's interesting to compare the vote and scorecards of the National Right to Life Committee, for example, and the Americans for Tax Reform. One-to-one correlation. You know, if they're 100% on pro-life, they're 90% of the time, they're going to be 100% on the economics. So listen, if the government isn't willing to protect your life, they're not going to be willing to protect your money either. And this is one of the patterns we see.
Father Frank Pavone is National Director of Priests for Life. He's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Pro-Life Democrats Are a Thing of the Past. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Father Pavone, thank you very much for your time and keep up the good work.
Real pleasure to be with you, and you do the same. God bless.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to continue our series on the Lutheran Confessions, talking with Pastor Paul McCann of Concordia Publishing House about infant baptism. I remember a conversation with Father Richard John Newhouse. This had to be 10, 15 years ago at least. I remember where I was. I was sitting in a dank little basement studio doing this interview with Father Newhouse, and he said something that has stuck with me ever since. Now, remember, Father Richard John Newhouse was a veteran of the civil rights movement in the 1960s and 70s. He was marching with Martin Luther King Jr. He knew exactly what that was about, the gravity of the situation. And he said, the pro-life movement is the civil rights cause of today. And he was right. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstatt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstatt.org.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com.